After months of wrangling, the Senate finally approved their version of the first comprehensive energy bill in 10 years. And with me now to discuss the legislation is Chris Hawley. Chris is a reporter with the Energy Daily, covering energy issues on Capitol Hill. The debate over the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, or ANWR, drew a lot of attention recently, but there's a lot more here that concerns the environment. I'm thinking in particular of the Corporate Average Fleet Efficiency Standards, or CAFE, that deals with mileage in cars. How have those changed since the original Senate bill?
Well, the auto industry waged a really aggressive and in some ways misleading advertising campaign on CAFE to persuade senators to vote against it. And they touted economic impacts on the industry and impacts on individual drivers by claiming that the proposed legislation, which would boost the fuel economy standard fleet-wide from about 25 miles per gallon to 36 miles per gallon by 2015, would force drivers to get out of their comfortable SUVs and minivans and into tiny, compact cars. It lost rather badly, almost by a 2-to-1 margin, so it looks very doubtful that we'll have a strong CAFE provision when a House Senate Conference Committee concludes its work on the bill later this year.
Chris, tell me about what happened to renewable energy in the Senate package.
Well, there are two key provisions in the bill. One is a tax provision that extends an existing program that gives generators of renewable energy a 1.7 cent per kilowatt hour tax credit. And this has been a very useful instrument in helping the fledgling wind industry grab a foothold in the U.S. power market. And the bill extends that by another 2 years. The other thing is a system called a renewable portfolio standard. And what that means is that by 2020, all retail electricity providers would have to offer at least 10% of their product, the power that they sell, from renewable resources. There were four attempts to weaken this bill on the Senate floor. Three failed. The fourth, which happened in the middle of the week, was successful. And what that did was cut in half the maximum price of the credits that the federal government would sell to energy providers who needed them. Republicans said that this would cut the cost of this provision, and it does, by 50%. Environmentalists worry, however, that this will have the perverse impact of making only wind, which is the most cost-effective and the closest competitor to traditional technologies such as coal and oil, and strand other technologies like solar, geothermal, and biomass. It remains to be seen what will happen. The measure could be amended further in conference.
So we have a bill now from the Senate. Of course, it's different from what the House had passed. Quickly, what are those differences in summary?
Well, the House bill includes a provision to open up the ANWR. The Senate bill does not. That's going to be a major sticking point for the conferees. The other main difference is the tax package. The Senate has $14 billion in various incentives and subsidies to fossil fuel producers and renewable energy producers as well. And $14 billion seems like a lot, but it's nothing compared to what the House did. They approved $33 billion in subsidies. That has to be brought together, so the typical strategy is to split the difference. So we may see about $20, $25 billion in subsidies coming out of the House Conference Committee.
With so much riding here politically on this conference, especially around ANWR, what do you think could happen?
The thing to remember, Steve, that I think is important is that both the President and the Congress said that their efforts are aimed at improving America's independence from foreign energy sources. And I'm sad to say that it's not likely that the bill that emerges from the conference is going to do much about America's energy independence.
Chris Hawley is a reporter with the Energy Daily. Thanks for speaking with us today, Chris.
Thank you very much, Steve. I enjoyed it.